Well, this looks like last week all over again.
I always get the feeling that we're in the wrong place.
Yeah, because they mentioned about having a agenda. Let me go check on the SAG channel really quick.
Nope, I think we got it. We got it right.
Morning.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Hi, Susan. How's everyone doing?
Not too bad. Breaking things.
Thank you for adding your agenda item, Tom. I was
No
patiently
problem.
waiting, impatiently waiting.
And
Sorry I didn't
that's
send it out, David. I was
no
waiting because all
worries.
I had was 1 5-minute agenda, and I was like, I don't know. It seems silly to send this out, but I want people to know that we're actually meeting. So,
I'm just updating my ctable instance so that it's now on the newest version. While I'm waiting for Folio to blow up. We did our upgrade to Sunflower today.
Oh, wow. And you're
So,
here to tell about it. Amazing.
yes. I will say that our hosting provider did a phenomenal job. They handed over the environment to us at 7 a.m. The only downside was our internal IT department, not library IT, central IT, took about 3 hours to update the SSO certificate information.
Oops.
So we had a little bit of running around.
Wah,
Yeah, exactly. I got an email like, I'm sorry, I was up late last night. I overslept. I'm like, well, this just shows that there needs to be more people in your department. But we got it up and running. Knock on wood, I have not heard any major issues from anybody. There seems to be a little bit of a change with our one service that ingests changes from Folio for our catalog. But we got all our user accounts set up. Kiosoft got back to us and said that they're monitoring the APIs, but everything looks good on their side. MeScan is up and running. So yeah. So
Great.
far we're good.
That's awesome. Maybe we have a potential agenda item for a future meeting if you'd be willing to talk a little bit about, I'm especially interested in the changes to permissions, and how, like, what you did in advance and whatever. So we won't go down that rabbit hole today, but if you'd be willing at a future meeting to talk about sort of what worked and what you did in advance, or were able to do in advance, and what you were able to work with your provider on, that might be a
I
helpful
mean,
thing.
yeah, I can answer it right now. It's very quick.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Okay. You
I was
didn't do
completely lazy.
anything to migrate the permissions.
No. I wrote all those scripts and I was setting up new permission structures and all this other stuff. And I mean, We actually have we have a migration from one of our other units coming into Folio, so I didn't have time to do it for Sunflower. But some of the devs at EBSCO was working on migration scripts themselves for the permissions from Okapi over to Eureka, and they were actually using our training environment as a test bed and running it through there. They have two different versions. They have I think it's called condensed and verbose. So the verbose ones are a little bit more expanded out. But they ran the migration script for our permissions and just copied everything over. There is some ugliness in there, and I will be going through and redoing permissions later on. But as far as day one, everything that's in there was migrated via that script. We didn't have to do anything. Again, knock on
Right.
wood.
Maybe the person who it broke for is out on vacation.
Probably, knowing my luck. I mean, the only thing I got was I asked people to pretest. I got one person that said, "Oh, I can now see this and this," which I couldn't before. I'm like, "Okay, well, since it's okay, it's still related to you, but that's not a massive deal. If like you could say, I can't log in, I can't do this, that would be a big deal for me." But yeah, seeing an extra widget, yeah, I'm good with that.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Susan, should we try the Zoom AI function
Oh,
once
if you
again?
want to, sure. Let's do it. All right. All right. So we have just a couple of agenda items. For our upcoming meetings on Thursday, there will be a fee fine subgroup meeting. Next Monday is a holiday in the States. It's MLK Day, so we will not have a meeting next Monday. And then we're back onto ticket review on the 22nd, next Thursday. I think I got all that right. If there's any questions about upcoming meetings. That's as far ahead as we have. As always, if you have agenda items, please either send them to Cornelia and to me, or you can also add them to the 2026 meeting notes page, which has sort of a calendar and then a list. If you'd rather just add it to the spreadsheet at the bottom of that list, that would be fantastic. And let we get indications when those come up. So there's the 26 meeting notes page. At the bottom are agenda items. There you can always add things you want to discuss or present on, or just have an idea about and would like us to take up at the bottom of that. All right. So the first, any other announcements, administrative stuff? All right. So we are trying to get a little bit on a better tr kind of schedule for leadership transition within the SIG so that it doesn't feel like a life sentence and that we actually have a structure so people are more willing to step up and co-convene for a couple of years. What my hope is that we can get to a 2-year commitment and that we have overlap. So that requires us to have sort of a regular rotation. So that people are more willing to do it. And for folks that need, for your CV, you need a little bit of leadership demonstration, a little in, service, whatever you need for your next promotion or job change. We'd love to offer SIG co-convenership as an opportunity for that. I legit do not have any motivation to co-convene, and yet here I am out of out of guilt. I get nothing from my job for this, and I would love if folks have folks who do get a benefit from taking on a leadership role, we would love to have you step up. Cornelia has not had a life sentence, but has been a co-convener for quite some time. Thanks, Tom. Maybe I'd get credit for this for being in that role. I think that it is very rewarding, and it's you have the opportunity to work with me for whatever that is. But I would love to have someone step up so that when I get to my 2-year mark, there will be overlap and we will have somebody, and Cornelia and I don't hit the wall and say, we can't do this anymore at exactly the same moment. So I'm trying to prepare for succession planning, so that we can have sort of a 1-year overlap. And it could be a July, mid fiscal end of the academic year situation. It could be as early as February, but I would love to have someone step up so that we can kind of get in this routine of switching over. If you need more incentives, and if you have ideas of other people who are not here today, and I'll send it out on Slack as well, but I won't be able to make the used car sales pitch. If there are folks you think would be great for doing this, that would be terrific too. It's not a huge amount of work. There's a good structure. The wiki makes it really easy to set up agendas. You do need somebody that can convene and actually like do what I do. Probably not speak as much as I do. So if you're not as verbose, that'd be great. What were the two versions, Tom? Verbose and abbreviated or whatever? Contained. So the other incentive that I have for you, though, is you can provide an opportunity to go to Prague for WolfCon. It's going to be in Prague this year. And so if you do want to do that, sign up. If that's an incentive for your institution and you get funding or you get permission to go, if you wouldn't otherwise, it's a good opportunity. Any other sales pitches, Cornelia, you want to add? You've been doing this for longer than me. No? Okay. Well, we would love to have you come on and take over.
I'm not talking as much as you do. You've said it all. Yes.
But Cornelia has been doing a huge amount of support behind the scenes, even though I'm the one that blabs all the time, that doesn't. There's an opportunity for like more than one person who have different skill sets and aptitudes. So please step up, even if you're not a blabbermouth like me.
Yes, you can share the responsibilities with your co-convener as you see fit.
Yes. And there's a great sort of on-ramp. Jana and Cornelia met with me when I decided I was willing to do it, and it's really quite an easy transition. And I'm not going anywhere. Cornelia's not going to go anywhere. Like, we're still around. Jana's still involved in the community and comes to meetings when she can. So there are, it's a good thing to do, and the community needs someone. And I don't want to get to the point where I get to December and I'm like, I can't do this anymore, and that Cornelia is the same in the same boat. So for continuity's sake, we would love to have someone step up, either now-ish or in July, so that we have some overlap would be really helpful, just so that you're not, because once we don't want to hand both over at the same time, it would be hard to do that. So give it some thought, talk to your colleagues. We'd love to have some new folks on board. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. And it's 2-year commitment, and then hopefully we'll get into a cycle where we have overlap and somebody's cycling every year. All right, I will. Any questions about that, about what it involves? All right, then I'm going to hand it over to Tom to talk about fee fine policy and circles.
I'm just updating something, sorry. So this actually might not even take that long. There was a question that came up and it, from somebody in the community, and I know we did discuss this before, but it has to do with Fee fine policies and when an item is renewed. Currently in the system, when an item is renewed, the system looks at some of the loan policies and that, and recalculate things. One of the policies it is not looking at or changing is the fee fine policy. And I wanted to get people's current thoughts on whether or not they feel that the fee fine policy should be updated when an item is renewed, or if it should remain as the original policy that was applied when the item was checked out. As I do remember us having some conversations and people kind of being on both sides of the fence, but I wanted to see where people were falling now with a lack of better description. This could be a change in the policy itself. For instance, you updated your loss policies. That goes from 100, actually, loss policies would be a good example. It'd be the overdue policy. You change your overdue policy from, let's say, 10 cents a minute to 20 cents a minute, or you decide to drop it down to zero, or you change it to a completely different fee fine policy that would be changed on the loan record when the item is renewed. Yes, Oga.
Well, to me, it seems easier to explain to a person that you have to pay this much because that's our current policy than trying to explain. Remember when you checked it out 3 months ago? At that time, we had different fee fine policy. From that point of view, I think it makes sense to change it during the renewal, because we do use these semester loans, and that is pretty a long time. Not that we change fee fine policy often, usually not at all,
Right.
but when we change it, it usually goes down. So from that point of view, it's even more difficult to explain you paying more because you checked out earlier. Than people who paying less now. So that's my thing.
Okay. David.
So what I think I'm vaguely remembering from when we talked about this so long ago was there was an issue around recalled items, which is not a particularly large issue for Chicago, but I'm just trying to think through what the implications of that would be. And in some ways, this might be valuable, right? Like, so if you recalled something and you canceled the recall, if it did change the policy, if you renewed it, would it then? Because there, I can't, recalls have that whole flag thing, right? That's the problem, is it would ideally need to not just update the overdue policy, but do something to the fact that it had a whatever, however it calculates recall overdue fines as different from standard overdue fines, right?
Right. I don't think it would. That's an issue with the flag on the charge record, the recall flag not getting removed. So it kicks in the recall fee fine policy part of the overdue fine. This is more of, as I said, I mean, you could even use recall as an example, but you have a, let's say you have a fee fine policy set up where you charge an overdue fine of like a dollar a day. And you have
Yeah,
50 cents
no, I.
down. And then you change that policy down to 50 cents a day. When any of those items are renewed, they're still getting the original fee fine policy of a dollar a day. So the only way to get the new policy is to check the item in and check the item out. I can add a little bit more context. So this came through basically support channel through one of the hosting providers, and somebody was asking if there was a way to bulk edit the fee fine policy on loans because they changed their fee fine policies to something new, and they have all these items checked out to with using one fee fine policy. And the only way that we can see right now that could potentially fix this in the system is to literally check everything in and then check it back
Yeah.
out because renewal won't change it. I do remember it was coming up before, like there was conversation. I remember conversations back and forth around fee fines that there were some people that didn't want to change the fee fine policy because that was the policy when the item was originally checked out. So they kind of wanted to keep the consistency of when the item was originally checked out. And then there were some people that were like, oh, yeah, let's do it. But I don't think we ever really landed on a specific answer. And I also was kind of wondering if people's minds have changed since then, which is this is probably like a year and a half ago that I'm remembering the conversation I'm thinking of.
I mean, I would certainly be in favor of updating it with a renewal. I think a renewal should more or less work in the same way that a check-in and check-out should work, in the same sense of like as the loan policy changes, right? So if somebody checks a book out as an undergraduate, well, let's say someone checks it out as a doctoral student and then becomes a faculty member, and that item is renewed, it changes their due date and loan policy and everything else to what their current status as a person, as an affiliate is. I was mainly bringing up the recall in the context of exactly, you and I think are on the same page, Tom, and that I think it wouldn't do anything to that. So people should just remember that this would not, in fact, be. Like they'd have to take that into account. That's a separate side issue.
Susan?
Is it true that if you renew something and you've changed your status, that your patron group, that it does recheck it on renewal?
I would have to double check that. I know that they said this is the problem is there's a lot of things that are recalculated on renewal and there's some things that aren't. I believe that the loan period is recalculated. But I don't know if it uses the current live version of the patron data or if it uses the cached version within the loan record itself. We can open this up to even further and say, do we want to ensure that when something is renewed, that cached version is also updated and the current whatever it is in the user record is what's used for calculating the loan policies.
It's interesting because upon renewal, you would think some of those. Do those fee fines, like if you're charging overdue fines, do those go away or do those get charged at renewal? You know what I mean? Like I actually
Well, that's a
don't.
setting, isn't it?
I
Yes.
think so.
Yes,
Yeah,
and
that's,
what
I mean,
happens? What happens if you change that setting? Like with the old policy, you charge at renewal, and with the new, you don't.
yeah. And that's a very good question.
Because I was thinking about switching from overdue to reminder fees or somewhere back. It shouldn't be as bad, but with especially that setting, charge overdue fines on renewal, it would be.
Well, it shouldn't then charge at all, right? Because you changed that setting. You don't want to charge them anymore. So what if before the with the previous settings they owned something? Now you don't charge them, so they should be free to go.
Well, only if the new fee fine policy is invoked, right? Like if the old one stays on, then you would be charged.
And I guess you could extend this then also to check-in then too, because if the item isn't renewed and the old fee fine policy is referenced on the loan, and if that's actually used for calculation, then we have to make sure that if we want to go down the, I guess my idea would be is that if you're looking at just fee fines, if you renew something and as you said, Cornelia, like you're switching on or off that charge fee fine on renewal, let's say you're switching it from charging a fee fine if an item is renewed to not, I guess my inclination would be that at renewal, the fee fine policy is first updated and then is applied if the item is overdue. So whatever the newest policy is what's actually applied instead of the old policy. And the reverse would be true. If you said before that you won't charge renewal, but now you do charge for renewals that it would not charge. David? Oh, you're muted yet.
I just tested this in our test system, and yes, if you renew an item and the person's patron group has changed, then it changes the loan policy. It updates it at the moment of renewal, at least in our system. So I don't think there's a like a setting that lets you decide that. So that does seem to be the behavior. So I mean, it would make sense to me, absolutely. Then obviously they should match, because otherwise then you're getting things out of sync, right? Like you're creating a situation in which someone's loan policy is X and the overdue policy is Y, when presumably under most circumstances, there would be a thing there. I do think that there's still potentially a need for some kind of bulk edit, because I can't imagine that, like, there's going to be all kinds of people for whom, like, if you decided, okay, we're not going to have overdue fines anymore, there's a bunch of people who might be at their renewal limit, or who are just going to return the book or whatever, that you're going to want to try to avoid that. I assume one way you could do that would be to just change the existing overdue fine policy, right? Like, if the overdue fine, like, if you were trying to just solve this in the short term without any other features, right, you would just go in and edit the existing fine policy as it is been captured, and say, now this fine policy is don't do anything, or make it more, because that would also change it, because again, overdue fines are only calculated at the moment of return. So as long as you change the underlying policy, that would have the same effect.
I think see, I'd have to talk to the devs, but this might actually open a, well, I can see two. I love it when I think of something and it forks like this. I can see making this change would be easier to allow for bulk edit because instead of keeping any of the fee fine policy data on the loan record, it would just be a link to that UUID. So you're just looking at the fee fine policy live. Whenever you do anything, and as I said, like it gets recalculated when things get renewed or maybe checked in. But I think the other fork is then what happens, because right now there is no system check for removing a fee fine policy to see if there's any open loans that haven't applied to it. So I'm wondering if that could cause an issue where you're checking in an item and there's no fee fine policy that could be applied because either it has been deleted or the original CERC rules that apply to that patron item type, whatever it is, there's no comprehensive one in the CERC rules. And maybe that's why they decided to go down this original route. I think that might be something that the devs could probably handle. Actually, I'll throw this out there. That might not be an issue anyway. Sorry, I'm thinking as it comes to my head, because there is a fallback policy always in the CERC rules. So one possible solution is that if it cannot find a valid fee fine policy in the CERC rule, well, it would fall back to the fallback policy, whatever that is. So whatever your default policy would be. So that might be okay.
I'm seeing Tim asking some questions in the chat, and I'm not quite sure I understand if they're related to each other, because you're talking, Tim, about requests, not loans.
Well, requests are loans, sorry. So I guess the way that I see these types of problems is that if you have a request that's made under one policy and then one thing changes, right? Patron's status or type, or sorry, group moves from undergrad to grad, and they have already checked out a number of items as an undergrad. That's under, I don't want to use the term contract, but I can't think of a better term. that's the contract that the patron has with the library, right? That's, hey, I was an undergraduate. I checked out these items under my undergraduate roles. And now I'm moving on to my graduate role. So the idea is generally that, because I don't know if you'd want to segment this between the two, like, oh, some libraries do it this way and some libraries do it that way, or maybe you do. Either way. can be accommodated, I think. But what happens? I think that from my perspective, it's more of a business question or maybe, operations question. Why should somebody who checked out a book that didn't have privileges of a graduate suddenly get privileges said that in their graduate position? Is that something that libraries would be or are okay with? I just because otherwise, like if you do it with one thing, like recalls or renewals or fees and fines, I would think it would be less confusing for the patron if they knew it was consistent across the board. Like when I'm a graduate student or new loans, I get to have an extra renewal period, or I get to have it out longer for than when I was a graduate. It seems to introduce a bit of confusion, I think, in terms of operations, but maybe not. I guess I'm raising it maybe more as a question than as a statement.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think from my perspective, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, David.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I think from my perspective operationally, it's, I mean, the consistency, I think I agree. I think that's why I would argue that the overdue fine policy should be updated as well as the loan policy, because from my perspective operationally, so I'll use us as an example. So undergraduates get 3 online renewals, and doctoral students get unlimited online renewals. So if somebody checked a book out as an undergraduate, and they hit their 3 renewal limit, and then they became a doctoral student, I would expect, and they would expect, that they would have unlimited renewals, and that that item should be renewed. They shouldn't have to bring the book back just because they borrowed it under a different sort of contract, right? Their contract has been updated, and from my perspective as a frontline staffer, I would have no way easily of understanding or knowing why the thing didn't renew, because I'd be looking at the person saying, well, but they're a doctoral student. They have unlimited renewals. I know that. Why won't this renew? And then you'd have to go dig down in and be like, oh, they borrowed it, 9 months ago when they were still an undergraduate. And now I need to. So, from my perspective, I mean, I agree, Tim, absolutely, that consistency is the key. I would just say that my 2 cents would be everything should update with the new status of the patron in particular. But also in terms of, like, if you went through and you batch edited a bunch of books and were like, hey, this thing is, we've decided to change the loan type or the material type or something else that is relevant to the CERC rules, it would be ideal if that would change. I do think that is the case with loan type. So I'm pretty positive, like, if somebody borrows something while it has a temporary loan type because it's on reserve, and then the quarter ends and it goes off of reserve, I think then if you renew it, it calculates it again. It doesn't like keep that old loan type. But I don't know about things like material type and other things where that's more calculated within
I
CERC
believe so
rules.
as well. I can write a general ticket, though, that just basically incorporates fee fines and all of the CERC rules and just say that the CERC rules should be regenerated at renewal. I think the only issue kind of related to what Tim said, I think the issue would be if, for let's say, you have a recall policy in place for undergraduates, if something is recalled from them, they only get 2 weeks, where if they're a doctoral student or a graduate or a faculty member, let's say they get 4 weeks. I don't think we would be able to go through and recalculate those due dates because of a recall if their status switches from staff to faculty without a pretty big lift. So for instance, if something gets recalled for me as an undergraduate, I would get 2 weeks left on it, but then 2 days later I become a graduate student, I don't automatically get an extra 2 weeks on that due date because the policy has changed.
This seems like a pretty edge, like
Yeah.
getting into the very weedy weeds there, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason why, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I think in that case, I think it's reasonable to say, oh, this was recalled from you when you were an undergraduate, and undergraduate gets 2 weeks to return it. Or faculty members don't have to return things if when they're recalled. But other than that, I guess what I'm hearing is that people do kind of, no one's opposed to the fee fine policies or actually any of the policies being updated when something is renewed. Am I also understanding correctly that if in a situation where we're talking about the fee fine policy has changed and something is renewed, where a fine may or may not have been charged on the old policy but would be charged on a new policy, the new policy should be applied and not the old policy?
I think that's the only way to do it. I that feels a little bit less like you, because generally I would say you want to err on the side of mercy, but I don't think you can. I just don't think you can make that choice. I think if you're suddenly becoming more stringent, like you have to be consistent one way or another. You have to be able to trust whatever the new policy is the policy, and then if you have to go in and forgive, waive a bunch of fines, then
Right,
so be it.
exactly. Yeah. Okay. Okie dokie. Well, I will write up a ticket. I'll also talk to Anne, so we can hopefully get the other one running. I'm hoping, I know that at one point in time, this is circling back to look at it, when Aaron was still here, Circ was one of the things that was discussed to do and with bulk edit. And I know she was very cautious about bulk edit touching circulation because of all the business logic around it. I don't know when the conversations with bulk edit are going to come back around to circulation. But I guess I would just encourage everyone to kind of keep in the back of your head of like what sort of things should you do you think that you should be able to do a bulk edit? Because I'm hoping that conversation will come up soon, but who knows? That's actually all I have.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I agree, Tom, about bulk edit. I have worries about changing the policies on loan records, things like that that require checks and recalculations of things, whether it's money or dates or whatever. There's just a lot in there, and we don't want to rewrite the circulation module in bulk edit.
Exactly,
Like,
exactly.
it
Yeah.
just
I
seems
mean,
like really precarious. That I do want bulk edit. I mean, bulk batch renewal and that sort of thing, but that's very different going through either the API or something like that, where it's doing the business logic. We don't need to rewrite, like reinvent the wheel is what I'm worried about
exactly.
doing.
And I think bulk, like bulk check-in, bulk check-out, bulk renewal, I think are all doable. I think what is going to be the tricky part for all of them is A, ensure that the business logic is being used and that it is being adhered to, but then also handling all the error messages that come back. So if you're doing like bulk renew, it's very well possible that you send it 10,000 things and you get 50 things that come back that say these can't be renewed because of X, Y, and Z. And how that's handled. How do you handle overrides? How do you handle this, and this? So I think that's going to be some of the nuances, especially around CERC and when it comes to bulk edit. But yeah. Thanks.
But that's another topic.
That's
So
another topic for another
did you get what you
day.
needed from us?
I didn't. I did.
Okay,
Thank you.
so
I
the
appreciate it.
decision is that upon renewal, basically the CERC rules will be checked and re-upped upon at renewal.
Yes, yes,
That
yes.
sounds good. And I do think for the most part, in the case of the example of patron group changing, I can't think of any cases where people are moving in the opposite direction. Like for the most part, they're moving from a place of lower permissions or lower privileges to higher
Greater
level or
permission.
more extensive privileges.
Oh, actually, we have the opposite happen on a regular basis, but
Really?
then they just have to figure it out. Yeah.
Subtly.
It's usually like when somebody, it's usually when somebody retires or somebody goes from being a doctoral student to being staff,
Yes.
things like that. You know, it's a big university and it's fine, whatever. They just be like, why can't I still do this? And it's like, well, 'cause you changed.
I mean, and we get the same thing too. Same things that David outlined, but also the staff graduate program. when you enter it in your final year to actually finish up your thesis, and that you actually drop from a staff member to a graduate member in our system. So you lose privileges. So it does happen, but again, it's
Sorry,
kind of like
that's
the
my very small college perspective.
No, it's fine. It's fun to have the conversations at the desk because when there's still staff in folio and you say, "Oh, I'm sorry." Well, we used to check out rooms to graduates only. I'm sorry, you're not a graduate student, but I am. I'm in the graduate program, but you're not graduated in our system, so you can't do it. And then when they finally become graduate students, like, "Oh, can I do X, Y?" Nope, you're not staff anymore.
Jeez.
Sorry.
This is why we try to keep as few things different about our various patron groups as possible. Really, renewal limits is about the only thing. So, like, even like study rooms, like, if do you as a faculty member, do you want to rent one of these smelly group studies that the undergraduates live in 24 hours a day? I mean, you can. We're not going to stop you. I'm gonna say I don't think you want to.
Funny thing, our faculty do want to book them, and we don't allow them because they are for students, because students don't have enough, and faculty can find some other places to book. So we actually forbid faculty from booking study rooms.
Yeah, I'm gonna blame Toby. They changed it shortly after, well, shortly before I left. But yeah, we did have that. We had faculty that wanted to take out the individual rooms because they wanted to get away from their office space where people couldn't bother them, and they couldn't, and they would have a fit at the desk. And we had a few that were limited. Other than that, the policies are pretty much the same. Any member of the Cornell University community have unlimited renewals. The number of the items they can take out is the same. The main difference is loan period. Undergraduates, I think it's only, what is it, 4 weeks, and everyone else gets 6 months or something, or 1 year, sorry. So it's pretty consistent.
Tim, I'm going to pretend I didn't read that question.
Waiting for someone to bite. Thanks, Susan. As my one colleague, Nick Capodona, always said, is anything is possible with enough time and money.
I think there's behavior that sort of, if there's known behavior, I mean, anybody in the room will tell you that I am always the one that's like, keep it as simple and contained as possible because there's these crazy edge cases, but we literally don't have bulk renewal yet. Can we get batch renewal before we figure out how to do this like esoteric little thing? So that's always going to be my go-to, and people can push back exactly. But I think that to the same point that David and Tom made, that trying to consolidate and simplify, our users do not benefit by having 30,000 different policies. Like it doesn't serve anyone. And so when we moved to Folio, that was our biggest thing, was like, let's get this as simple as we can for ourselves. And we still spend a ton of time on it, and it's as simple as we could imagine it. So
Since we have 15 minutes, CrossApp SIG is next. I'm actually doing item statuses over there. It's a rehash of what I've talked about 2 years ago. But one of the things, I'll throw it in chat. So I think, yeah, it works. I was toying with a different circ rule editor interface that I might throw. So I'll throw it in there and see what people think. You don't have to say anything now, but if whatever you think, just put in there. I'm not in charge of circ rules, by the way. I think, is that under you, Tim, or is that under Stephanie? I think it's under Steph, isn't
Circ rules? No, it's under. It depends on which type you're talking about. But which part of it? I
The
think it's
UI.
under. I think it's under Anne. Yeah, it's under
Oh,
Anne.
okay, cool. In that case, I can drive Anne nuts, but. That was one of the interfaces I was toying around with, is to try to simplify circ rules to make it a little bit easier to edit and more understandable. But
Would
oh
it still
boy.
look the way it looks when it's not being edited? When you're looking at like all the circ rules together, would it still be the sort of shortened code version? And this is just when you've opened it up to edit, or would this have a larger impact? Because
It
yeah,
would
I
kind of
agree, I
look the
like it,
same.
but.
Yeah, it would kind of look the same. The idea being is that instead of typing everything in, it'd be drop down boxes, but also it would The other idea was eliminating the need for always having to add those five actions or five policies to the circuit rules. So if you have your default fallback policy, you set your five main policies up there, and you only indicate what policies you want to change underneath that rule. So if you only want to change the loan period, that's the only policy that you select and you change. Other than that, it goes back to the fallback rule and uses in the same notice policy, that sort of thing. And as you create sub policies and addenda in, it would do the same thing. So it would hopefully make it a little bit easier. I know we all have that aspiration. When you become a PO, you're like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And then about 2 years in, you're like, nope, I ran out of time.
Exactly.
Never mind. Sorry.
Once you've already slogged through writing your circ rules.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
so thanks for that plug, Tom. The if folks didn't see it in, I think, oh, I can't remember when she posted it, but Tara posted in the research, I mean resource access channel just a couple, it was just Friday, that the cross-app SIG is meeting right after this meeting at noon. So go grab yourself another cup of coffee or eat your lunch in front of the cross-app SIG meeting. And hopefully we'll see some of you over there in 15 minutes. And are there any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Thanks all. We will see some of you in a bit. Take care.
Have a good
Thanks,
day.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.